I'll be in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18, and I'll be in 3 John verse 2. Only two verses of scripture. And we begin the series, Walking in Financial Dominion. Today and next Sunday, I'll be teaching the principles. But much more importantly, the person behind the principles. And the last two Sundays, we'll have some practical sessions. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. If you are there, can you say amen? If you are not there yet, can you say, oh me? Okay, so Deuteronomy is in the Old Testament. And to save you time, the media ministry has been gracious to project it on the screen. So you may want to check it out on the screen this morning. I want us to read this out loud. 1, 2, let us go. But thou shalt remember. Now that's too low for me. That's too low for me. I mean, you know, this is the youth church and I have energy. So I expect you to have energy. I'm older than you, so you should have more energy. But it looks like I have more energy. Glory be to God. So let's go. 1, 2, go. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which is swear unto thy fathers as it is this day. Can I have an amen to that? From that one verse that we read, there is a word that is very important. In fact, there are two words very important. Number one, God. He said, you shall remember the Lord your God, because it is possible to forget the Lord your God. So he says, remember the Lord your God. Number two word I want you to notice there is the word power. Power to get wealth. Power. So it means that there is power. Power is required to get wealth. And you can't be talking dominion without talking about power. Because it takes power to walk in dominion. When God made man in Genesis 1:26 and blessed him, one of the things God said to man is that he should have dominion, not for him to be dominated, but for him to have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every creeping thing, in fact, over every living thing, and everything that creepeth upon the earth. In Psalm 62 verse 11, the Bible makes it clear to us that our God is not a powerless God. In fact, one of the characteristics of God is power. Anywhere you see God, you see his power. He's a God of power. Power is monocentric in the universe. Power has its source. If you trace the source of power, you trace it back to God. In Psalm 62 verse 11, it said, God has spoken once, but twice have I heard this. What have I heard? The power belongeth to God. Revelation 19 verse 6, when the angels were singing in the B part of it, they sang to the Lord and they said, hallelujah. They said, Hosanna. And they said, hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. When you hear the word omnipotent, he's talking about God who has all power. He's the only one that can be called omnipotent. Nobody else can be called omnipotent. Only God has that attribute. Only God has that characteristic. Only God has that title, if you want to call it the title. It is traceable to God. And God wants us to exercise power. God wants us to exercise dominion. He said, you must listen. Listen to me. He said, I'm the one that gives you power to get wealth. I don't lack it. I don't lack it. So if you remember me, you need to remember me, saith the Lord. He said, remember the Lord your God. For he is the one that gives you power to get wealth. So God is the source of power to get wealth. Not Satan. I know people go to Satan to get some stuff, you know, but Satan is not the source. Satan himself is a thief. So what he does is to steal stuff, rob Peter to pay Paul. That is the ministry of Satan. He cannot generate wealth. God is the source. Psalm 36 and verse 9, he said, for with you is the fountain of life. That's the source. And in your light, we see light. God is the source. Somebody say, God is the source. In James chapter 1 verse 17, the Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God, the Father of heavenly light, with whom there is neither variableness nor shadow of turning. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh from the Father of lights. It comes from the Father. The Father is the source. If you see any good gift anywhere, if you see any perfect gift anywhere, it can only come from one source, and that is God. Let me go ahead of myself and correct you very quickly. Let me help you with your linguistics. One of the questions that people ask you as you go on in life is, what's your source of income? And when they say, what's your source of income? If you're a medical doctor, you say, well, I'm a doctor, so that's my source of income. If you're a legal practitioner, you say, I'm a lawyer, and that's my source of income. I'm a nurse, that's my source of income. I'm a teacher, that's my source of income. Now that's erroneous. James 1:17 answers that question. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from medicine and surgery, comes down from law, comes down from being a beautician, no, or a beauty therapist, no. God is the source. So they ask you the next time, what's your source of income? You say, God. How do you make money? What do you do to? Oh, you mean the channel? The channel is medicine and surgery. Can I have an amen to that? The channel is the conduit through which it flows to me, but it is coming from God. It can flow from being a saxophonist. It can flow from being a musician. It can flow from being a doctor. It can flow from being an artist. It can flow from being a graphic artist. Those are channels through which the blessing flows to you, but it is coming from one source, and that is God. That's why even when gifts flow from your uncles, your aunties, your friends, first of all, you must primarily give the glory to God because he's the source. Can I have an amen to that? And the good news I have for you this morning is that source never runs dry. Do you know that one channel may close, but God will open another channel? Okay, only two people came to church. Did you hear what I said this morning? Have you seen a situation where somebody was sacked from their place of work and they didn't die? But yet, God opened up another door and they became bigger 10 times over what they were or what they used to be. Are you with me this morning? One business can shut down. God will open another one. COVID-19 happened. COVID-19 taught us a whole lot in 2020. So many businesses shut down. But many people didn't shut down their lives. God opened bigger doors. In fact, that was the time some started flourishing. Are you with me, church? Because God is the source. The channel may close. Never you call your channel your source anymore. I thought I should bring that correction to you. Can I have an amen? He said, I'm the one that gives you power to get wealth. And one of the things you want to know about God is that everywhere you see God, you see power. Psalm 110 verse 2. It said, the Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of your enemies. One of the areas where Satan affects and attacks the church is our finances. In many ways, number one, Satan doesn't want the church to be rich. Because when we are rich, when we have more than enough, we will use it to preach the gospel. We will use our funds to help the less privileged. We will build orphanages. We will fund orphanages. We will give scholarships. We will be a blessing to the destitute. We will house the homeless. We will show them Christ. We will feed the poor. We will feed the hungry. We will visit the people in prison and be a blessing to them. It's one of the reasons Satan is attacking the church. And when a pastor is bold enough and courageous enough to preach what I'm about to preach and what I'm preaching this morning, there are also people who have been rented by Satan on social media to attack such messages. It says money, 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 money. If you read your Bible very well, you would see that Jesus, our master, the perfect example, spoke about money. In fact, he didn't just speak, he taught about money. There was one service Jesus attended and people were giving offerings, and Jesus actually sat over the offering basket to see what each person was dropping. If money does not matter, the master wouldn't have done that. Oh, master, we need to pay tax. Go to the river, catch the first fish you catch, open his mouth, there's a golden coin there, use it to pay for your tax and for mine. He didn't disobey the law. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth the power to get wealth. So if wealth is not coming, it could signal an absence of that power to get wealth. And by the grace of God this morning, the Holy Ghost will open up our eyes on how to access that power to get wealth. One person came to church. in 3 John and verse 2, John the beloved, John the apostle of love, who was always sitting on the bosom of the Lord Jesus, resting on the bosom of the Lord Jesus. Oh, the apostle of love. He was the last apostle to die. They tried to kill him, he didn't die. Put him in a pot of boiling oil. The man refused to die. Then they exiled him. They removed his eyes, exiled him on the Isle of Patmos. Boom! The Lord Jesus appeared. And he wrote the book of Revelation. Not Revelations, Revelation. One Revelation. The whole chapter. All of the chapters, one Revelation. The apostle of love. Should we listen to such a man? Should we listen to such a man? He brought a message from the Lord. 3 John and verse 2. He said, beloved, let me show you the will of God. I want to reveal to you the heart of God. I want you to know what the Lord Jesus is thinking about you. He said, beloved, in verse 2, I wish now, in another translation, the word wish there is translated, pray above all things, above every other thing, above everything else. This is most important. Listen to what is most important. That you may prosper. Some people don't like to hear the word prosper. They will attack us on social media for saying God will let you prosper. No, no, this is prosperity gospel. It's in the Bible. That you may prosper. One, and be in health. I thank God for those testimonies we heard this morning. Sickness is not nice. Disease is not cute. Disease means dis-ease. Anything that is affecting your ease. God said that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospereth. That's why your soul must prosper. So the soul first. And as the word of God is coming this morning, is cleansing your soul, renewing your mind in the name of Jesus. Because it is as your soul prospers that you prosper and be in health. And what do I mean? Some people are confused all over the world today. They don't know whether it is the will of God for us to prosper, for them to prosper. I know. And so the first thing you need to establish, like I did last week, I want to do again today, I want to repeat today. The first thing you need to establish as a child of God, whenever you desire to break new ground, is to find out the will of God. Let me tell your neighbor, say, find out the will of God. I'm repeating it for emphasis this morning. Find out the will of God in every situation. Is it the will of God for me to be well and continue to live a healthy life? You ask yourself that. Is it the will of God for me to advance and make progress in my profession? Is it the will of God for me to prosper? Or is it the will of God for me to be harassed by Satan, even though the Bible makes it clear that he has been defeated? Is it the will of God for me to live my life in depression, sadness, anxiety, sickness, disease and sorrow, poverty and lack? You need to know the will of God so that you don't continue in a vicious cycle of frustration. Many are confused today because they don't know the will of God. They are not sure whether this sickness in their body is God's will or God wants to heal them. God is not going to heal anybody. God has healed everybody. Can I have an amen? We established that last week. All you need to do is to receive what has been provided. What is the will of God for me in this situation? Every child of God must ask that question. Before you go into a business, ask God, Lord, what is your will in this business? Is this business your will for me? Where do you want me to cite it? You want to go into a relationship? Ask God, what is your will for me? What is your will for me? Because you don't know anybody. You think you know people? You don't know anybody. In fact, sometimes even you still surprise yourself. Am I right about that? In Jeremiah 17, verses 9 to 10, can we have that on the screen very quickly? I want to show you a scripture. Jeremiah 17, 9 to 10, it said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know the heart? You don't know anybody's heart. You may know their face. You think you know their character. You think you know their address. You may know their phone number, but you don't know their heart. There are people smiling at you, smiling with you, and they are really not smiling. There are people who come close to you to get information about you, to use such information against you. That's why you need to ask God. In verse 10, the Lord said, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. I, the Lord, search the heart. So if you are wise, talk to the Lord who searches the heart. Lord, who is this person? Who are they really? Are they going to harm me? Or is this your will for my life? Because his will may come in a package that doesn't look like his will. That's why discernment is important. Genesis 14, Abraham discerned Melchizedek, the priest of God. It discerned him. You need to discern people. And so you need to ask God, what is your will? This line of business or this career path that I'm following, Lord, what is your will? Where do you want me to specialize? Don't just gamble through life. You have only one life to live. Don't gamble through your life. Can I have an amen to that? In Jeremiah 10:23, Jeremiah said, it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. It is not in man. Jeremiah 10:23. Can you put that on the screen for me quickly? Jeremiah 10:23. He said, oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. I don't have the master plan for my life. Wake your partner up if they're sleeping. Pinch them hard so that they can be. This is the time for destiny to open up. It's not time to sleep. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. So I want you to order my steps, oh God, into your will for my life. The center of the will of God is the safest place to be. In the center of the will of God, you are provided for. In the center of his will, you are protected. In the center of his will, everything is settled. In the center of his will. Not outside his will. I don't want to spend one day outside the will of God. In marriage, in career, in profession, in business, in ministry. So it's important, ladies and gentlemen, it is important, God's children, to know the will of God. In Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, the writer said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Listen to me. Lean not on your own understanding. You have understanding, no doubt about it. We thank God for your understanding. But the writer said, lean not on your own understanding. We know you have understanding, but don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. That's why Paul the Apostle picked that up in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Colossians 1, 9 and 10, while he was praying for the church at Colossae, he said, for this cause, we also, since the day we had it, do not cease to pray for you. What's the content of the prayer? And to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, that you may know his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It's important to know the will of God. Do you want me to remain in Nigeria, Lord, or do you want me in America? It's important. Some are in Nigeria now, they should be in America. And so their lives are miserable in Nigeria. Some are in America, they should be in Ghana. So their lives are miserable in America. Same God said to Abraham, Genesis 12, get out of your father's country. Same God said to Isaac, Genesis 26, when there was famine in the land, stay, don't go anywhere. Same God said to Jacob, go back to your father's country. Three different generations, three different instructions. Get out, stay, go back. God, what's your will for me? You have one life to live. Let me tell your neighbor, you have one life to live. Stop gambling. Know the will of God. Let me tell them, say, know the will of God. Because his will can be known. Amen? Have you asked God about that thing? Yeah, I asked him, I prayed, but I didn't hear anything. He It's a common response. I've been there myself. When I asked God something and he didn't answer. Like when my mother died, I asked him. So what do I do now? That's about an event connected with the past. Much more important, because whether he tells me or not, the woman is dead. She's in heaven. Glory be to God. But we are talking about life decisions now. Things that have to do with the future. Things that are connected to the present and they have to do with the future. You know what to do? Pray. Pray in the spirit. Listen to me, church. Pray in the spirit until it gives a witness to your spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost long enough. Until God bears witness with your spirit. Don't take a step outside God. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 15. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16. Likewise, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Until he bears witness with your spirit on that matter, don't move. Are you with me, church? I'm talking about guidance now. What has this got to do with financial dominion? Everything. You need to be led by the Spirit of God. There are businesses people are walking away from because they think there is no profit there. And God will open your eyes and say, that is where your prosperity lies. Everybody might despise it, but God says, you stay there. That's my plan for your life. Have you not read in the Bible that the stone that was rejected of man became the chief cornerstone? It became the head of the corner. Because his ways are past finding out. His ways are not our ways. But thank God for the New Testament advantage. The Holy Spirit is the believer's advantage. By the help of the Holy Ghost, we can stay in the place of prayer until he says. Stay until he says. If he doesn't say, he will bear witness. Stay until there's a go ahead from the headquarters. Don't invest in that business until there is a witness in your spirit, man. Time is going. Let it go. It went yesterday. If you take a hurried decision and put all your life savings in it, there goes your money. Stay for as long as necessary. We have become lazy. That's the problem now. To pray 2 hours in the Holy Ghost is a job. Can you pray 3 hours? You want me to die? Your destiny is so important, you should be able to invest 3 hours. What is the will of God concerning our financial dominion? Is it the will of God for us as children? Our text answered that question. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18. The Lord said, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that giveth the power to waste. He giveth the power to be poor. He giveth the power so that you can be asking for handout from friends and family members. He giveth the power to do what? He giveth the power to do what? Personalize it. It gives me power. For who to get wealth? So does God want you to get wealth? No, are you serious? Is that what the Bible says? That God wants you to be wealthy? Okay, 5 people are convinced. I want it to be driven down into your spirit, man. Because some of us have been so conditioned in poverty that we think that poverty is a mark of spirituality. I don't, goodbye world. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh no. We are poor for Jesus. Hallelujah. That's an insult. Jesus was never poor. Can I have an amen? Nobody gambles on the clothes of a poor man. They crucified him. The soldiers were gambling on his clothes. Who would take it? They cast lots. Good designer wears. Baba was wearing. Can I have an amen? He lived in Capernaum. He had a home in Capernaum. I've had somebody say to me in Dubai some years ago, you know, the people of nowadays, you don't follow Jesus. Say, Jesus trekked most of his journeys. He trekked. But have you also read in John chapter 6, he took ships to move from place to place. Not one sheep. The Bible said there was a sheep waiting for him. Then there were other little sheep that the apostles also took. In our days, that would have been private jets or airplanes. I'm not preaching the gospel of private jets. I'm just telling you that Jesus is not poor. He wasn't, he is not, and he will never be. Because Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he was ever poor, he became poor so that through his poverty, we might be rich. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Can I have an amen to that? So he was not poor. And he is not. God will help me to write my book. I've been inspired for many years. Daddy ain't broke. He's not broke. He was never stranded. They want to pay tax. Go get this. Catch a fish. Get the coin. We want to do this. Oh, we want to feed people. Philip, John chapter 6. How do we feed all these people? Philip said, if we buy 200 penny worth of bread, it's not enough to feed them. To even go around for them to take a little bite. It's okay now. What do you have? But there's a little boy's lunch. All right. Father, I give you thanks. Multiply it. Never stranded. Not a time he began to write letters to people to beg them for help. No, never. And that's the Jesus that you carry, and that's the Jesus that I carry. We are not engineered to be stranded. It is strange to our being. It is strange to our spiritual DNA. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? I want you to be so angry at the devil because it's part of the work of the devil, one, to keep you poor, and two, to give you a poverty mentality. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. No man can be greater than their thought life. It's not a sin to be born poor, but to die poor is your fault. You have a choice to make. Is it the will of God for us to prosper? Third John verse 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. I want you to prosper and be in sound health even as your soul prospers. What more proof do you need that this is the will of God? Psalm 35 verse 27. Psalm 35 verse 27. I want us to read this together. Let them, want to go? Let them shout for joy. And be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yay! Let them say, how often? Let them say, how often? Continually means every day. Let the Lord, what should they say? Let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Does the Bible say that God has hatred in the prosperity of his servants? It brings him pleasure when you do well in school. Good grades. Good jobs out of school. Good businesses. Doing well. Looking good. Smelling nice. Preaching the gospel. Winning souls. Who wants your brand of Christianity when you come around and you're smelling? Hello, bro. I want to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to you. I want to tell you that Jesus is good and his mercy endures forever. And what is coming out of your buccal cavity can be likened to something called an odor from the septic tank. Praise the Lord. And the odor that oozes out is terrible. You're looking famished. You have not eaten in 3 days, not because you're fasting, but because there's nothing. And you want to come and tell me that God is good? Is God good to you? You need money. Come, take. No, never. That will never be your portion in the name of Jesus. You say, God takes pleasure when we do well. You think I don't like air conditioners? You think I don't want us to have ACs in this church? Or you think, let me tell you how I think. Or you think I don't want all these plastic chairs to be given to one of our village churches? So that we can have 21st century cushion chairs in the youth church? Green, red in one corner, blue in another corner. You think it's not nice for us to change the aesthetics of this building? In fact, I'm beginning to think, Lord, we need to change this roof, this asbestos, this flutex. They are old. We made them here as a youth church. I was here when the adult church fixed it, but we need to now have something more youthful. Can I have an amen to that? Amen. So as we lift up holy hands and we look up and say, Father, we bless your name. We want to see something nice. It will cost money. And God will find us faithful to do it. 5 people want to do it. Yeah. Is it the will of God for us to prosper? 2 Corinthians 8:9. On the screen for me, everybody, I want us to read it. And if you're writing, write down the scriptures for further meditation. 8:9. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. Not 3, 9. 8, 9. 8, 9. God bless you. 8, 9. Now, let's read everybody. Want to go? No, that's too low. That's too low. That's too low. That's too low, church. Rev it up. Rev it up. Want to go? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor. That through his poverty, that you through his poverty might be poor. He already took on poverty from you. It will be miscarriage of justice for him to have taken it and for you to be taking it now. Are you getting what I'm saying? There is only one person that is stealing from you. Not God. As far as God is concerned, your prosperity is settled. Oh, no, Pastor, I don't have much education. I'm not talking about your education. Pastor, because I was not born into a rich background. Forget your background. You are a background yourself. Are you with me, church? It's like my children are talking about background. I'm the background. I'm the background they're talking about. At my age, if I keep complaining about my parents, my dad, you know, didn't go to school. I don't know why my mom dropped out of school. I don't know why both of them. It's their fault. At 40, going to 44, you are a fool. You know, some people are in that, they are in that situation. Till today, they are blaming their parents. They are blaming Nigeria. People are making it in Nigeria. Legit. Legit. For you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that giveth the power to get complaints, to get stories, to get reasons. May you not have reasons. May you have results. I'm not okay because, you know, because what's because? Shut up! You are the because. Jesus became poor. He was not poor. He became. He became like he became a man. He's not a man. He became. And as many as believed him, to them gave him power to become what they believe. To become the sons of God. We were not sons of God, but we believed on his name, and he gave us power, power to become. 2 Corinthians 9, 8 now. I gave you 8, 9 before. Now 9, 8. 9, 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency, always, always, all the time, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Look at the word all. God is able to make all grace. That's all, number one. Somebody say all, number one. That's all grace. Abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency. Somebody say all, number two. In all things. Somebody say all, number three. You may abound to every good work. This is the will of God, man. This is the will of God, church. This is the will of God. The word of God is the will of God. Give that to me in the Amplified Classic. We read it a few Sundays ago. Let's read again. AMPC, quick. 2 Corinthians 9, 8. Everybody, let's go. And God is able to make how much grace? All grace, let's go on. Every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance. So that you may sometimes, always, go on, and under all circumstances and whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnish in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Can I have an amen? NGOs will approach you and you will be a blessing to them. Student bodies will approach you and you'll be a blessing to them. Everyone who comes gets something good from you. Can I have an amen? That's the way we should live. It's exciting to live that way. It's exciting. It's exciting. We are not philanthropists. We are givers. We're not doing it because we want to be known, want our names to be on social media. We are doing it because that's our nature. It is the nature of lions to kill. Lions kill other animals without apology. It's the nature. You can't blame it. You can't blame it. It's the nature of a scorpion to sting. There was a story of a scorpion and a frog, both of them trying to cross a stream. The stream was turbulent. It was really turbulent. And the scorpion is not designed to swim. The scorpion knew that if he got into the water, he was going to die. So he begged Mr. Frog that was around and said, carry me on your back. You know how to hop, 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 hop. Hop across the stream so I'll be in safety. Mr. Frog said to Mr. Scorpion, Mr. Scorpion, I want to help you, but you will sting me. And I don't want you to sting me. I don't want to die of your poison. The guy said, oh, no, you are my helper. I'm not going to sting you. No, I'm not going to sting my helper. Are they crazy? No, no. Come on. So Mr. Frog prepared, made his back available. The guy hopped on it, Mr. Scorpion, and then they hopped as they were hopping across the stream. In the middle of the stream, Mr. Scorpion, because it's his nature to sting, had forgotten that this was his helper. But it was his nature to do it. So he just, boom, stung the guy. The guy said, ah, and I told you I want you. He said, oh, I'm sorry. He said, no, you too, you'll be sorry. The guy dropped him in the water. Why did he sting him? That's his nature. That's why we are not haters. It's not our nature. We can't hate. That's why when you start hating on someone, you fall sick. You are the one hating. You are the one falling sick. You know why? Because it's not your nature. It's against your nature. When you hold on to unforgiveness for too long, you fall sick. You know why? You have breakouts on your face. You have hormonal imbalance. You have stomach pain. You have all kind of pain in your legs. You know why? Because you're in unforgiveness. You're holding grudges against your dad, against your mom, against your friends in school, against your pastor in church. You'll be running stool. You know why? Because it's against your nature. Your nature is love. Can I have an amen? Amen. But when you begin to release everybody and begin to forgive everybody, you start looking fresh. Honestly. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but listen. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and asking the other person to die. It is the one who drinks, who does the drinking, that will do the dying. Are you with me? Release people. Help me hold on to your neighbor right now. Say, in the name of Jesus, receive grace to forgive that person. To release them right now and to let go. Look at them eyeball to eyeball. Engage, engage, engage. I'm not kidding. I'm not joking. I'm serious. God is in the house. Amen. Say, receive grace to let go. In Jesus' name. Amen. Paul said in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Does God want your needs supplied? Okay, three people. Okay, that sounds like 15 people. Yes, sounds like 50 people. Yes, do I tell the Lord that everyone who says yes, sir, the Lord should have their needs met? Yes, but there is a condition. And this is the beginning of my message. I want to start preaching now. There is a condition to walking in financial dominion. I'll be exposing some of these other things as the sermon goes on and as we, you know, day after day plus week after week. But this one, I believe the Holy Ghost gave me as the most important factor for any one of us. Regardless of your background, regardless of your academic achievement or attainment, regardless of where you were born, even if you were born on the wrong side of town, like some people say, if you possess this that I'm about to share with you, this thing is no respecter of backgrounds. The condition is a heart that beats for God. A heart. Say with me, a heart. I know you want to say a heart. Say with me, a heart that beats for God. Is your most prized possession in the journey to prosperity. This describes a heart that loves God with everything and in everything, mark my words, a heart that loves God with everything and in everything. It's a heart that has no time for eye service and showmanship, but loves God unrepentantly and unapologetically. It's a heart that puts God above everyone else and above everything else. A heart that says God over everything and means it. Not just a cute saying for social media. This is a condition for walking in financial dominion. 1 Kings 3:3. The Bible says Solomon loved the Lord. And Solomon loved the Lord. Is it possible for a mortal man like you, like me, to love the Lord that we can't see? Immortal, invisible God. Yes, it is possible. From your heart. I want to ask you, Expression House, is your heart sold out to God? Does your heart beat for God? Do you pant after him like the psalmist said in Psalm 42, I believe, or 46? As the heart panted after the water brooks, so panted my soul after thee, O God. Yearning for God. 42 and verse 1, thank you, media. Does your heart beat for God? Does your heart love the Lord? It's a condition for walking in financial dominion. Go back to 1 Kings chapter 3. We're going to read all the way to verse 28. And we're going to read fairly quickly. 1 Kings 3:3. Okay, I'm going to read from my Bible. 1 Kings chapter 3. Everybody go into your Bible now. And Solomon loved the Lord. And Solomon loved the Lord. May it be said about me and Fred, when I'm gone, that Fred loved the Lord. May it be said about you, after your 120 is expired, that you loved the Lord. In Jesus' name. How do we know that Solomon loved the Lord? The Bible says, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. For that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. 1,000. To kill one was a problem. Solomon offered 1,000 at Gibeon as a proof of his love for God. He loved the Lord. He gave 1,000 burnt offerings. It sounds like John 3:16 to me. For God so loved the world, he gave. Your giving must not precede your loving. You're loving first. You love him first and then you give. That's why if anybody says they love you but they don't give you anything, it's fake love. Love always gives. Genuine love gives. Oh, I don't have anything. That's not true. You have words of encouragement. You have prayer. You have your time. Can I have an amen to that? Verse 5, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give you. And to see that Solomon really loved the Lord, Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. He was humble. I don't know how to do this, Lord. Help me. The prayer of the humble. I'm not Mr. Fix-It. Help me. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Give me a wise and an understanding heart so that I may discern. He didn't ask for money. He asked for a wise and understanding heart that he might discern. And the speech pleased the Lord. May your prayer please the Lord. A man spoke and God was pleased. Do you know the same way a man can speak and God will be displeased? Lord, This is one prayer you need to pray for your pastor and you need to pray for yourself. Let not my speech be in error. Herod spoke. People said, wow! This is definitely not the voice of a man. This is the voice of God. And he smiled. Oh, yeah. I'm a great orator. Man, I speak well. You know what I'm saying? Do you know the kind of universities I graduated from? And a worm broke out of his forehead and ate him up by his speech. Solomon spoke and it pleased the Lord. I pray for you again, Expression House, and those watching us, joining us online or listening online. May your prayer this week can always please the Lord. Amen. Because when it pleases the Lord answers. But Solomon asked this thing, and God said unto him, come on, boy, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of your enemies, but hast asked all my enemies for my father's house. You see, God was saying, look, you didn't ask for all of this, but you've asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Chai! Listen, behold. Behold means look and consider. I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked. God gave him Jarrah. This is the season. God will give you the extra in the name of Jesus. What you didn't ask, I've also given you. According to Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ever ask for, the, according to the power that works in you. God can do the extra. He gave the extra to Solomon. He will give you the extra. Three people said amen. Lord, answer them. Amen. So that now, God said, verse 13, and I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor. Father, we receive that also in the name of Jesus. So that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then will I lengthen your days. And Solomon awoke. I wanted to follow this. And behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem, same day, and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings, and offered peace offerings, and made a feast to all his servants. Verse 16 started with then. Somebody said then. Something happened. Thank God the solution had come before the problem. And I'm praying for everybody this season. Before any challenge arises in your life, God would have given you the answer. If you know the meaning, you say better amen. Amen. That is the cure to confusion. Some of us are in positions where people ask us questions. They ask us for counsel. We need this prayer. People look up to you. You need this prayer. May answers come before the questions show up. Then came there two women. He had the dream last night. He encountered God. He received wisdom. The next day, look at what happened. Two women that were harlots. Olo shows. Got them in the Bible as well. So it's not a new profession. Let nobody harass us. I'm a professional, a low show. No, don't, you don't need to harass us. It's already in the Bible. And I don't think it's anything that anybody should be proud of or should be delighted in. But they have associations and they show off on social media. Lord, have mercy. Send laborers. Send us as laborers into the field to win souls in Jesus' name. Some of them are in your schools. Friday night, boom. All Friday, time to party. Father, may they receive you in the name of Jesus. My heart beats, my heart bleeds when I see young girls, 16, 17, 19, 22, 23, lined up by the roadside. In the highbrow areas of this city, it's no longer Friday nights, now it's every night. You talk to some of them, they are highly intelligent. I met one in Lagos on my way to Ibadan. Years ago, we boarded the same bus. It was just two of us in front. I engaged her. We talked and talked and talked. I became friends with her. We talked and talked and talked. I found out she was a pastor's daughter, a professional prostitute, a pastor's daughter. I said, but you're going to come back into the kingdom in the name of Jesus. Pastor, it is well. They have the lingo. They have our linguistics. We need to go out and preach the gospel. The reason God will give us financial dominion is not to consume it on our lust. It's not for you to now be buying tickets for your girlfriend to jam you in Dubai. No. No. It is for the souls of men that are getting lost every day so we can get them back into the kingdom. Can I have an amen to that? So there were two harlots. They came to the king and stood before him. Look at this situation. And the one woman said, "Oh my Lord, I am this woman dwelling in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house." Oloshobima. Condom failed. So she got pregnant and delivered a child. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. Another Oloshobima gave birth. Glory be to God. And we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. Only the two of us in the same house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. She slept and jarupad on the child, and the child was strangled to death. Suffocated the three-day-old baby. She never had a child before. This was her first child. It was never in her business to be giving birth to children. It was a mistake. Accidental discharge by a customer. And this child, this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight. Look at this drama. She arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept. Thine handmaid. When did you become the handmaid of the king? And laid it in her bosom. You know, when people want to call it your mercy, there are some language they will use. And laid it in her bosom. And laid a dead child in my bosom. You too, you were sleeping too much. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, I looked at the baby very well. Behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, "Nay, my lord, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son." And this said, "No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. The dead is thy son, and the living is my son. No, the living is my son, the dead is thy son. No, the dead is thy son, the living is my son." The two of them. What a situation. And both of them were showing, they were showing the passion of a mother. What would you do as a king? How do you solve this matter? Any evidence? No evidence. Any proof? No proof. Any eyewitness? No eyewitness. There are situations that life brings and you have no answer. I tell you, thank you, choir, for that special number. You were in the spirit. There are challenges that only God can fix. No matter how smart you are, you don't have enough wisdom for it. This was the situation that Solomon found himself, day one of being king. What a job. He's my son, he's my son, he's my son, he's my son. Dead, living, living, dead, dead, living, living, dead. It was a rhythm. But the man who had been visited by God, look at his approach. Verse 23. He had not spoken, no. They spoke, 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 spoke. You know, women, the Lord have mercy on you. The Lord bless you. Then said the king, "The one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other said, nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living." And the king said, "Bring me a sword." And they brought the sword before the king. And the king said, "Divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other." Shebi, the son is your son and it's also your son. Well, yeah, let's slice them into two so that you can have two equal parts. Listen to this. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king. For her bowels yearned upon her son. You will know the mother now. And she said, "Oh my Lord, please give her the living child and in no wise slay it,
I beg you, give her a letter. Let her have him. Don't kill the boy.
But look at the original Olosho. That one is repentant Olosho. This is the original. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. King, divide it. Yes, yes. Divide the child. Yes. If that were your child. See the wisdom of God. You don't appreciate it because you've read it from the time you were in KG. But can you see it coming alive this morning? Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. The wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. And listen to me. You want to know the wisdom of God? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Let us read together, everybody. Look at the screen. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us what? Wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. With Jesus in your spirit man, you have wisdom. The wisdom of God. Can I have an amen? Why did Solomon ask for wisdom? Because he loved the Lord and loved the people. His journey into financial dominion started with love. 1 Kings 3:3 that we read. And Solomon loved the Lord. I'm asking you expression house this morning. Do you love the Lord? He loved the Lord and then he gave. Which reminds us of John 3:16. For God so loved the world he gave. But I'm not talking about you giving money this morning. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about giving your heart to the Lord. I'm talking about giving your time and your resources and your talent to the Lord. I'm talking about giving everything that makes you, you, to the Lord. Jesus said in John 14:23, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. If a man loves me, he will keep my word. If a man loves me, when I tell him to forgive, he will forgive. When I tell him to give, he will give. When I tell him to pray, he will pray. When I tell him to evangelize, he will evangelize. When I tell him come to church, he will come to church. When I tell him go and release that person, he will go and do it. If a man loves me, he will keep my word. Not just that he will sing to me, I love you, Lord. I love you so much. Jesus, do my word. Keep my word. Keep my word. If a man loves me, he will keep my word. He will keep my word. Do you love the Lord? I'm asking you expression as, do you love the Lord? Even what you give must be motivated by love. If it's not motivated by love, it's not acceptable to God, it's a waste. 1 Corinthians 13, you know, this is how you know the difference between a philanthropist and a giver. 1 Corinthians 13, let's take it from verse 1 to 3, and then we go to verse 13, quickly. 1 Corinthians 13 said, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels. Listen, there are tongues of men and there are tongues of angels. When we pray in tongues, when we speak in tongues, sometimes we're speaking the tongues of men. You are speaking the language of other people. We found that in Acts chapter 2, Acts of the Apostles, on the day of Pentecost, as the apostles began to speak in tongues, as they were enabled by the Holy Ghost, there were people that came to Jerusalem. Some of them were Galileans, Scythians, Libyans, all kinds of people, all kinds of nationals from different countries. And the Bible says they all heard these people speaking in their own dialect. So there are tongues of men. How do I know it is tongues that you are speaking? Because it's not a language you learned. For example, you don't speak Spanish. And you are speaking in tongues, you may be speaking Spanish and you don't even know it. Estorendo, friendos, tinderamanondos, tembrehendo, kelemanondo, evrinomando, cabrahando. And somebody in the congregation that can speak Spanish is saying, oh, wow, this guy's praising God in my language. A white man is in your church or in a gathering, in a meeting, and all of a sudden everybody's speaking in tongues, and a white man, full white man, who has never been to Africa, who has never learned Yoruba language, he's saying, Olorun agbaye, o ma tobi loba, o ma ga, oluwa ega, oluwa tobi, oluwa tofe, oluwa babao, oba mio, o wachukutu kembe, debi jakadi. He's a white man. After service, you go to him and say, sir, how long did you live in Nigeria? Oh, no, Nigeria? No, I've never been there. I've never been to Africa. Oh, okay, but you got a private tutor to teach you Yoruba language? Yoruba? I don't know Yoruba. No, it's not Yoruba, it's Yoruba. Oh, Yoruba. No, it's not Yoruba, it's Yoruba, Yoruba. The man says, I don't know what you're talking about. I heard you speaking now in my language, in fact, in my dialect. When God wants to shock you, he will make the person speak your own dialect. Not just your language, your dialect. He will speak Ijebu, real conk Ijebu. Even normal, regular Yoruba people don't speak that. They don't understand that. They are not talking about hair. So we have tongues of men. But also there are tongues of angels. Paul the apostle taught us these things. That there are times you're speaking in tongues, but you're speaking the tongues of angels. I know a man that was caught up in the spirit. Oh, whether in the body or not in the body, I cannot tell. Some 14 years ago, he was caught up into the third heavens and he heard things that are not permitted for a man to speak. Paul the apostle wrote that. There are tongues of angels. But he said, even if I combine the two, I speak in the tongues of men and I speak in the tongues of angels. I don't know the tongue of angels, so I'm not coming up with one. But the Holy Ghost knows. And it's the one that gives me utterance. So you can't say today, Father, I want to speak the tongue of angels. Pastor Fred taught us yesterday. Father, today, let me speak the tongue of angels. You are wasting your time. Go ahead, pray in the Holy Ghost. It gives you utterance, and then you speak. Speak both combined. If you don't have love, if you don't have love, you are like a sounding brass. Somebody get on the drums quickly get on the drums and or he said or tinkling cymbal, just be beating the cymbal bang bang bang, just continue. Oh yeah continue. Is he making any melody? What is he making instead? Noise. Oh, God bless you. Some guys are smart here. That's how you're speaking in tongues. No matter how many hours you speak, is when you do not love. God will say, Gabriel, sir, yes, sir. Who is making noise there? Verse 2. Quick. Real quick. That's why you can't afford to be in hate. And though I have the gift of prophecy. Hallelujah. The gift of prophecy is one of the gifts of utterance. Prophecy. In fact, in its category, it is the greatest. Because you have the gift of prophecy, you have diverse kind of tongues, and then we have interpretation of tongues. Diverse kind of tongues plus interpretation of tongues equal prophecy. The powerful gift to have is one of the gifts that reveal something. No, say something. One of the utterance gifts, they say something. He said, if I don't have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, that so that I could remove mountains, man of faith, and have not love, I am having results, but I am nothing. May you receive wisdom to know that God is interested in you more than your results. You are more important to God. Our generation is running after results. Our generation is running after popularity, fame, the one that has the highest number of followers on social media. God is not seeing your followers. Oh, 1 million, 100,000 followers, I'm going to throw a party, nude party, to celebrate 100,000 followers. Are they really following you? The internet is giving you an exaggerated opinion of your importance. Some of these followers will meet you in the mall and will not greet you because they don't even know you. Verse 3. Somebody getting something this morning? And though I bestow, this is the most humbling for me, because I thought that giving is everything. But the Lord said loving first before giving. Because you can give without loving. Are you with me? You can give. Just let me give you. Give you so that my child in heaven can come and the one here can stay. And though I bestow all my goods, how many of my goods? I mean, how can you bestow all your goods to feed the poor? Everything you got, empty your account, feed the poor. People will hail you. They will hail, man, that guy's a giver. I've never, ever met anyone that gives like that guy. 10 million, he did the transfer in our presence. They bought bags of rice, distributed to everybody in Mokola. Man, he should be our next governor. Let's vote for that guy. Let's push him. If he doesn't want to be, we push him to be. Jesus fed people. They wanted to make him a king. He ran away. Giving is powerful. Listen to me. I want to pray for you again. May God give you wisdom to let you know that you are more important to him than your gifts. At the end of the day, what will count is the soul, our soul. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body, I don't have money to give again. I've given out all my suits, all my jackets, all my shoes, all my perfumes, all my belt, I've given all my boxer shorts, all my singlets, everything. I got nothing. I got nothing left. The only thing I got is my body. Guys, come for my body. Burn me. Because just burn me up. Set me ablaze. I just want to show people that I love them. Give my body to be burned. It's possible to give my body and still not have love. Showmanship. Showmanship. As a believer, you're not, you should be a giver. I'm not a philanthropist. I'm not saying philanthropy is a sin, but I'm saying you don't give because you want to show off. Right? So Galaxy Television, DCOS, OGTV, or what they call them, Gateway, AIT, MRTV, Iroko TV, Goldmine TV, Instablog Niger, Linda Ikeji, What's Up Ibadan, Just Lover, Ofofo Amebo. You call everybody because you want to hand out 6 packs or packets of sugar, 22 bars of yam, 5 bags of rice. Praise the Lord. Our organization, you know, we like to bless people, we like to help the less privileged. So we have brought all these. What's all that? How many people did Christ bless like that? Andrew, sir, yes, sir. Bartholomew, sir, yes, sir. Thaddeus. Oh yeah, go and get all the media people. We want to, today, we are going to feed 5,000. Did he ever do that? It means you can do that without loving. He said, if I do all of that and there is no love, it profits me nothing. Are you with me, church? So God is asking for your heart first. Your heart of love. Your heart of love. Go to verse 13 now. There abides these three. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. These three. But hey, the greatest of these is love. Love is the greatest. Let's go for the greatest. Can I have an amen? Let God see that in your heart this week, beginning from today. And so it is not wrong for you to go back and pray to God and say, Lord, I need help. So it is not your giving first. It's love first. Tell your neighbor, say, it's not your giving first.
It's love first.
Otherwise, your giving is a waste of time and resources. Whatever you are doing in the name of the Lord, whether you are ministering, whether you are preaching, whether you are ushering, whether you are singing, whether you are dramatizing, whether you are counseling, whether you are praying, whatever you do in the name of the Lord, which is not born out of love, is a waste. May we not waste our lives. Go back to him in prayer and say, Lord Jesus, I need help here. Cry out like the psalmist in Psalm 139, verses 23 to 24. Cry out and say, search me, O God. Try my heart. Check my reins. Know my thoughts. And if there be any wicked way in me, Lord, fix me and lead me in the way everlasting. Verse 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Yes. And see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me, O God. Because sometimes I don't know my error. Lord, lead me. Open my eyes to see. Let me see me. Let me see me. And you, Lord, fix me. Sometimes you are the last to know your error. Like bad breath. You are the last to know. They call it a name in dentistry. Halitosis. Halitosis. You are the last to know. You think you are cool. You're talking to everybody, but people are holding their breath. Lord, have mercy. And you are the last to know. That's why you need to ask God, God, clean my mouth for me. Lord, help me. Sometimes some of us, we talk too much. And the problem is here. Is it, Lord, fix this mouth. Fix my life. Fix my mouth. Fix me. Fix my heart. I'm beginning to have concupiscence. I'm beginning to have inordinate affection. Inordinate affection for that sister. Lord, help me. I can't tell pastor. I can't tell anybody. Pastor will use me to preach. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. When I see the sister like that, I can't concentrate again. Lord, help me. And leaders are not immune to this as well. If you're going to be honest with yourself, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I need help. I need fixing. I want this heart to be dedicated to you and to you alone. I want to love you with all my heart, with all of my heart, with all of my imagination to love you. When I imagine anything, I want to imagine loving God. Because I was made for love. I know that I was made for love. I know that I was made for loving you. Pray in the Holy Ghost until there's a divine surgery. Until that heart begins to beat for the Lord. Until that heart begins to beat for the Lord. Pray in the Holy Ghost until that heart begins to beat for the Lord. And somebody's asking me a question as I close this morning. Pastor, how do I know when my heart beats for the Lord? How do I know when my heart begins to beat for the Lord? And I give you one indication. When your heart starts prioritizing the things of God without procrastination. When your heart starts making the things of God priority without procrastination. When you hear something to be done, something that will glorify God, and say, boom, let's go, let's do it now. We're not waiting till tomorrow, we got to do it now. When you get back to school this afternoon without any formal announcement, you go out on campus, you stroll, you go to some places where you can see some nice people, and then you go and share the gospel with them. When your heart starts prioritizing the things of God without procrastination. When the Lord says give, and you give instantly, prompt to do it, prompt to do it, obedience. For the Lord loves a cheerful giver, a prompt to do it giver. I'll show you that next week. But it's not just about giving, like I said. It's your heart, first of all. When your heart starts prioritizing the things of God without procrastination. 1 Samuel 21 and verse 8. David said, the king's business requires haste. He said, Oba, Koshema de, Oba, kanju. The Yorubas will say, Oba run inse, Odo Obakun. He said, Oba, Oshema de, Odo Oba, Oshefu, Wafu, Odo Oba. When the Lord sends you on an errand, it's with haste. The king's business is with haste. It requires haste. The king's business requires haste. The king's business requires haste. Hey, Fola, wake up. It's 1 a.m. I want you to start praying now for the next 1 hour. Pray for your church. Pray for, who do I pray for, Lord? Pray for your church. Okay. Lord, I'm tired. You know, I went to bed late. I need to sleep more. No. The king's business requires haste. The king's business, get on your phone now, call Chidera on the phone. Call Chidera. It's a witness in your spirit. You say, ah, Chidera, I've not seen her in 2 weeks. Why should I call her? No, I saw her yesterday. She was fine now. You don't argue with the Holy Ghost. The king's business requires haste, prompt obedience. You might be saving a life. Be honest. How many of you, God has put somebody in your heart before to pray? You didn't pray. 3 days later, you had they died. You hardly forgive yourself. Ah! Could that be why? It happened to a lady in this church. Ah, uncle in Cotonou. I shared something along this line. Years ago, Expression House was an afternoon church. The lady's in Canada now. She came to me and said, Pastor, do you know what you shared to me? What you shared this evening, you were just talking about my life. I said, what happened? Then she told me. The king's business requires haste. We don't have tomorrow. We have now. That's why faith is now. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things before. Now faith, not tomorrow faith. Now faith. In John chapter 2, when Jesus told them to fill the water pot with water, they filled it. He said, draw out now and beer and go and give to the governor. Draw out. He didn't say tomorrow. He didn't say in an hour's time. Draw out now. The king's business requires haste. When we are desiring miracles from God, how many of us would like that the people God wants to use for us should delay it? Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, the person that wants to give me the money, I need to pay my school fees. I know you prepare somebody. Let him delay for another 3 weeks. Have you ever said that kind of prayer before? When you know that tomorrow is the deadline, when do you want it? So when God sends you on an errand, how quickly should you obey? The king's business requires haste. Stop the nonsensical procrastination. Oh, media, we don't have time yet. We will design the design for later when we meet. No, the king's business. Are you listening to media? All the graphic artists, the king's business requires haste. Pastor, what's your next topic? We have to design now. The king's business requires. And when you do the king's business, the king will do your business. Did you hear what I said? I've never seen anybody outgive God. David gave so much. God blessed him mightily. David shouted, no, stop the blessing flow. God said, stop praising me. See, I can't stop. God said, I can't stop too. God is not broke, oh. Those of you that are reading physics, or you know about physics, or you don't know physics, go to Google and check. Oh, there is this substance. Asteroids, thank you. Asteroids are things that didn't come together when God was forming the protoplanets. They're like the waste of God. Like when a woman makes cake, you cut the flour and everything, you put it together, you mix, and then you cut into the cups to bake. You always have some leftover in the bowl. Am I right? Even if you're a miserly woman, there'll still be some left. Or when you make a bar or amala, there will be some that will stay in the pot. Those are asteroids. When God made the planet, they were metals rich in all the stuff people are looking for. Magnesium, calcium, chlorine, everything. They have all the elements. They are rich in the elements. America is still chasing asteroids in the space. If you catch one is worth trillions of U.S. dollars. One asteroid is worth trillions of U.S. dollars. You can go Google what I said. Trillions of dollars. One asteroid. Trillions of dollars. How much money do you need in your life? Asteroids are God's garbage. God's garbage. My father's. What he didn't need again. He just threw it in the space. Boom. Emma Buffer. And you and I were made in his image and likeness. You think he's a broke God? Think twice. But what will connect me? Love. God doesn't have love. God is love. Anywhere God sees love, he moves in that direction. 1 John 4:8, 1 John 4:16. Do you love people so much you pray for them? Do you take them to God in the place of prayer? Do you even pray? Tomorrow is another time of prayer, 3 to 5 p.m. How many of you will I see? Prosperity is not by mouth. You can listen to 1,000 messages on prosperity. They are all online. Nothing new. All the principles are the same. There are people in prosperous churches, but they are poor. So the environment is not able to breathe into them. What matters is your heart connection. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first, not second, first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. 2 Samuel 7, verses 1 and 2, I love that. David sat in his house, as I close this morning, I'll close here. David sat in his house and said, 2 Samuel 7, 1 and 2, put it on the screen. He said, how can I, after the Lord had given him rest, and it came to pass when the king sat in his house, that's King David, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies. May the Lord give you rest from all your enemies. Look at what David said in verse 2. There should be a time to go on vacation. That the king said unto Nathan, the prophet, he said, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, very expensive wood, but the ark of God dwells within curtains. How do I know that my heart is beating for God? Whatever matters to God matters to you. So it's heart preparation first. Those of you that come to this church, are you bothered about the kind of chairs we have? Do you want something better than this kind of chairs? Are you bothered about the fact that we don't have air conditioners? What are you doing about it? Are you bothered about the fact that some of our slow techs and asbestosis are old? We need to have something 21st century compliant. Do you ask questions? Are there people in this church who might need help with a little bit of financing? Just a little bit can make a difference in the lives of some people. To help with transportation or to help with feeding. Or maybe even with accommodation. Or are you just living for yourself? These are the days that God will release some deluge of blessings. But they will go to the people that have their heart for him. If it's in your heart, God will bring it into your hands. I will show you next week how that David wanted to build a house for God. Because from this conversation, David was bothered. How can I be living in a house of cedar? Cedar is not cheap wood. King David had taste. Taste. Baba, any taste, man. Handsome man. We that are handsome, we have taste. For how long? Percy, we know how. David said, how can I, excuse me, be in a house, a fine house, huge, clean, rich, but the ark of God, which symbolizes the presence of God, is dwelling behind curtains. Nathan, by me, you are the prophet, help me. Why should this be? Why should this be? David's heart was beating 24/7 for God. So much so, he started thinking of building a house for God. Nobody ever thought about that. Build a house for God. Do you know the size of God? What kind of bed are you going to make for him? The Bible says he humbles himself to see what is going on in the heavens. Is that huge? But David so loved the Lord, he wrote a lot of the Psalms, not all of them, but quite a number of them, just loving up on the Lord. O Lord, my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsted for thee. My flesh longed for thee. To see thee in a land where there is no water, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Just as I've seen you in the sanctuary. Psalm 63, verses 1 and 2. When should I come and appear before you? God, I love you. I can't wait. Enoch walked with God and he was no more. Why? God took him. You've done enough. Come here. Let's continue the fellowship here. Do you have a heart that beats for God? Give you a simple example. You need carpet in your room. Your church also needs carpet. Which one should you get first? If God can't touch your pocket, then you don't expect things to flow from him to you. Some of us love God from our head to our tummy. But down inside the pocket, no, God, no. Even if you mistakenly give a 1,000 naira offering, you wanted to give 1,500 naira. Mistakenly, you give 1,000. I heard somebody wanted to give 50 naira, but as they pulled out the 50 naira, they didn't know 1,000 fell on the floor. So the neighbor behind them took the 1,000, helped them to put it in the envelope, and put it in the offering. After putting, then tapped him and said, "Don't worry, I've helped you to give offering." He said, "Oh, thank you very much. No, the 1,000 fell from your pocket. I knew that was what you wanted to pick, so I gave it."
What?
Fights inside the church. It sounds like a joke, but in this church, that's happened before. Not exactly like that. Some guys went out on publicity. I arranged it for them, and it was dunamis time. But that was special publicity. That was to be paid for. That was for them to have something to go to the malls, to have transportation. So I think they were given 1,500 each, apart from our general float. The guy that led the publicity float, Akim, was a Muslim. His father was the head of the mosque at Mokola Runabout. Akim gave his life to Christ in this church, became one of my protocol officers, was on fire for God before he graduated. So, Akim was the one that led the team. As I paid them, we transferred the money to them. Akim removed 150 naira from everybody's money and paid it to church as their tithe. One young man, listen to me, that's an Akim. A young man by the name Isaac. And Akim paid tithe on behalf of Isaac and the rest. And Isaac engaged Akim. "I will fight you. Who told you to pay tithe on my behalf? Who, do you know my plan for my money?" 150 naira. His story today is not palatable. I remind him every time he comes to my office to beg. I say, "Look at you. The people that were your mates in Expression House, they are all over now, doing amazing things." I preached to him privately. I begged him. I prayed for him. I counseled him. After some time, I stopped giving him money. I started buying things for him. I bought soap. I bought toothpaste because he will spend the money. I say, "You, in your heart, there's no space for God. No space. Don't live this kind of life. You know the way your father, I don't know your father. You told me your story. Don't repeat the mistake of your father." But I can preach to you. I can't live for you. Everybody makes their choices in the beginning. At the end, your choices either make or mar you. May you learn to make sound choices in Jesus' name. We stop there for today. I'll continue next week. Have you been blessed? Stand on your feet, everybody.